Have you ever wondered how cool it would have been to have been one of the 12? You ever thought about that? What it would have been like to be one of Jesus' disciples, to just be with Jesus. I mean, you wouldn't have to be like one of the you know, Peter or John. You could just be one of the ones, you know, that was blessed with a name like Bartholomew. I can't even say it. To just hang out with him, to just be with him, to sit around the campfire at the end of the day and cook s'mores with Jesus, to just kick back and maybe laugh, joke a little, maybe ask a few lingering questions from the day, or maybe just to sit there and to stare into the flames and watch the smoke go up and just be there together. What if he joined us today? What if the doors opened up and Jesus came walking in right now and he sat down beside you, of all the people he could sit beside, and he sits there beside you and he's there with you through the whole service, and when you got up to go, he went with you. How cool would that be? And then everywhere you went, he would go with you. You might go to some different places than you would choose, or you might do some things differently than you would have without him there with you. But how cool would that be? How cool would it be to have Jesus right by your side all of the time, to go through all of the things that you go through in your day? How much easier would life be if Jesus were right there by your side all of the time? And when you were struggling with a sin or temptation, Jesus would be right there to say, "Is that really the best choice right now? Is there something better that you could choose? Something that would glorify God more than the one you're about to choose?" That would save us. That would save us from a lot of bad decisions. What if when you're going through some rough times, maybe things weren't going so great at your job, maybe you lost someone who was close to you, or you received some bad news from the doctor's test results, or money is tight because inflation hit everything but your paycheck? Any number of different things that we struggle through, that we go through. What if Jesus were right there with you to comfort you, to be with you, to assure you that God is over all of this, that God's still in charge, God is still in authority, to encourage you, to help give you strength to endure, just simply by being there with you? Boy, that would be priceless in those moments, wouldn't it? What if you were at your wit's end with a relationship in your life? You're going through a rough spell with your spouse, or having a difficult time with one of your children, or all of your children, or your relationship with one of your parents or your siblings is estranged, and you're thinking, "I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I know to do." Wouldn't it be great if Jesus were right there to give you relationship advice? Well, why don't you try this? Try saying this. Try using this tone. Or maybe he just jumps in and says, "Here's exactly how you fix this." Or maybe Jesus would give some perspective that we didn't have before, and that different angle would change things and give us an opportunity to freshen things up a bit and approach that relationship differently. Boy, relationships would be so much easier if we had Jesus right there alongside us, coaching us through them. That'd be pretty great, wouldn't it? That's some pretty deep stuff. What about just everyday stuff? What if you're in the kitchen and you're just putting something together and you're going by memory? You know, you don't know where the recipe is, and you get to a certain point and you just kind of stop and you think, I don't know, is it a cup or a half cup? Jesus? You know? Because he would know, right? Maybe he would give you a completely different ingredient that would take your dish to a totally new level. Who knows? Or maybe if you're a student and you're sitting in a world history exam and you come to a question and you're like, hey, Jesus, could you help me out on this? Because it's world history. Jesus saw it happen. He didn't have to read the textbook. He was there. And you say, hey, can you help a brother out? Can you help me out with this? Or if it's math or science. I mean, he invented math and science. There would not be a question that he would not be able to answer. How cool would that be? I don't know. Would that count as cheating? That would, okay. But the question still stands, does it not? Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus were right there by our side? If he went through all that you go through with you? We wouldn't waver as much in our faith. We would probably be more hopeful about the outcome of negative situations. We would probably be stronger and more confident in life. He would remind us to love when we didn't want to. He would help us to forgive when it just seemed impossible to. He would use our life situations to teach us lessons, to help us to grow, to assure us that everything we go through can have purpose if he's involved in it. Well, we don't have to imagine this, do we? Because this is a reality for God's children. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God living inside of us. We looked at John 14 last week, and then just a few chapters later, in the same conversation that Jesus is having after the Lord's Supper, he has now gotten up and left the table. They've left the room, and they're walking on their way toward the garden. And in John chapter 16, he reiterates some of the things that he said about the Holy Spirit while sitting at the table. Verse 7 of 16, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Parakletos, the Helper, the come alongside, the aid giver, the counselor, the advocate, the intercessor. Jesus says that it is to your advantage that he goes away, because this opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of God's people, inside of God's children, inside of you and I. Jesus said, if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So simply, he will convict and he will teach. He will guide us into all truth. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, wait a minute. We spent a lot of time last week talking about a Holy Spirit is God. If he's God, then why can't he speak on his own authority? Well, if you remember, Jesus said these exact same things about himself. Jesus said, I don't speak on my authority. I speak only on the authority of God. In fact, we read that very verse last week in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit are both referred to in the New Testament as intercessors with God. We connect to the Father through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. They connect us to the Father. And so when Jesus said that he only spoke on the authority of the Father, Jesus wanted to make sure that we understood that this wasn't just a human sharing earthly information, but these were the very words of God that came from outside of this world, from God the Father. And so the same is true with the Holy Spirit, that the truth that the Holy Spirit shares, Jesus wants to make sure that we understand this is not the relative truth that we see in the world around us that's constantly shifting and changing, but it is truth from our Father outside of this world. And so both Jesus and the Holy Spirit point us to God the Father. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will glorify him, that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will take the works and the words of Jesus and help us to understand them better. He will declare them to us, says in verse 14 as we continue. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus' works and his words, the Holy Spirit will bring them to us, will help us to understand them better. I believe many of us can relate with my statement earlier that wouldn't it be great if Jesus were right here by our side? Some things would be different. Some things would change. We would weather life's storms differently. But church, the reality is that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he is the same as Jesus. He's actually better than Jesus because he's not confined by any physical limitations. He can live inside of me, and he can live inside of you, and he lives inside of Christians all around the world and throughout history from the past 2,000 years. And that's why Jesus said it's better. Let's write this down. According to Jesus, in his words that we read today, it is better to have the Holy Spirit inside of me than to have Jesus beside me. God came into the world in the form of Jesus to do only what he could do through God with skin on, to walk in our shoes, to have the teachings of Christ from Jesus' mouth, the example of Christ as we watch his life, feeling our struggles, dying for our sins, raising from the dead, showing what resurrection looked like. God had to take on a physical form to accomplish all of the things that he accomplished through Jesus. But when God came back to earth in the form of the Holy Spirit, he didn't need to accomplish all of the physical stuff. So this time he would come back in spiritual form. And this time God was unhindered by the spiritual restraints that Jesus was subject to, because he could live inside of each of his children. So this is why Jesus says that it would be better for us, that we would do even greater things than he had done, because instead of God on earth through one person, now God could be on earth inside every one of his children, and that's greater. And all of this is built around us having a relationship with God, God seeking us out so that we can have a relationship with him, every one of us to have a relationship with him. That's what the offer of redemption gave to mankind, was an offer for a relationship with God. One key component in any relationship is communication. You can't connect with someone if you can't communicate with them, can you? We're told that the Holy Spirit is our intercessor, that he helps us to communicate with the Father in prayer. Paul shares this in Romans chapter 8. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray, or for we do not know what, let me get this right, do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit knows, what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit helps us communicate with God. Very simple. He helps us communicate with God. Now, this isn't some alternate language. In fact, Paul kind of puts a stop to that understanding. He says it's beyond language. He speaks in groans that are too deep for words. So it's not language. The Spirit is going beyond the use of words. The Spirit in The Holy Spirit in spirit form, God in this spirit form, is speaking to God in heaven on our behalf. The weakness that's described here is when we don't know what we should pray for, and we're stuck there, that the Holy Spirit will help us out in those situations and help us to know how to pray in a way that is in line with God's will, that would put us more into his will. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and so he works intimately with us. He can search our hearts and go to God and present our thoughts and feelings into groanings that go beyond words, that help us to be able to fit into God's purpose, into God's will. And that's pretty cool. So he makes sure that the lines this way are clear and solid. What about the other way? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that he is communicating to us? I'll use that word. That's our question for today. Let's go and write that down. How does God communicate to us through the Holy Spirit? How does God communicate to us through the Holy Spirit? I think every one of us have wondered that. What we're going to do is we're just going to go to the Bible. I mean, novel concept. We're going to go to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is where the church starts. And we're just going to go through the book of Acts. And I've found seven different places in the book of Acts that represent seven different ways that God communicated to the early church through the Holy Spirit. And we'll see if these apply to us as well. The Holy Spirit is active in the book of Acts. He is mentioned in the second verse of the first chapter and throughout the whole book, all the way to the very last chapter. So as we get started, this first one, I want you to brace yourself. This is some profound stuff about to come at you, so brace for impact. Okay? So one of the ways the Holy Spirit, or one of the ways that God communicates to us through the Holy Spirit, is found in Acts chapter 8. It's right here. And the Spirit said to Philip. Just let that, just absorb it. I know it's tough. That's some deep stuff there. Okay, let's write it down. He speaks. He said to Philip, so he speaks. He speaks. He spoke to God's children in the first century, and I have no reason to believe that he has stopped in the 2,000 years since then. I've heard story after story of how God has spoken to people through the Holy Spirit. I've had him speak to me in ways that were just shy of audible words. I was so certain that it was God speaking to me through his Holy Spirit. He still speaks today. He did in the first church, and he does today. We would do well to listen up. Don't just brush off the voice of the Holy Spirit and think, well, that's just my imagination, or I'm just hearing things. If you're a Christian and you feel a voice inside of you, you should pause and consider, what if that is God speaking to me through the Holy Spirit? Maybe he's telling you to go to a person or go do something. Like when he was speaking to Philip, he was telling Philip to go and talk to this person. And that story ended with that person being baptized into Christ. And he went on his way rejoicing. He was happy that Philip listened to the Spirit. So what opportunities are we missing out on because we simply are not listening, and we throw it off? We say, well, that's not, that couldn't be God. That's, no. If you're a Christian, God lives in you. And if you have a voice, you have to weigh that and say, okay, is this the Holy Spirit? Is God speaking to me through the Holy Spirit? Another way that we see the Holy Spirit or God communicate to his people through the Holy Spirit is through times of service or worship, prayer and fasting. Service, worship, prayer, and fasting. These are times when you are actively seeking God, when you are focused on him. So it makes perfect sense that these would be fertile ground for God to speak to us. This example comes from the church in Antioch, where the believers were worshiping and fasting, and the Spirit spoke through this. Acts chapter 13. While they are worshiping the Lord, that word worshiping can also mean serving or ministering. So, you know, sometimes when we think worship, we think we're singing songs. Worship is much more than just singing songs. And so this word that's used here captures all three of those. That's why in your notes it's worship / serving. So while they're serving the Lord, in some translations, or worshiping the Lord here in the ESV, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, there's that word again, the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, so fasting and praying often went hand in hand, so that there's no surprise that that was part of it as well. So they were fasting and praying, and then they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So the Holy Spirit took this time of service or worship, fasting and praying, and he spoke to them because these are times when we would be a little more receptive to the voice of God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. I believe many of us have heard God during times of worship, during times when we serve. And it's a great reason why that when people come back from doing a mission trip and they feel like, man, God spoke to me. And so, well, because you were serving. Of course, you're going to have a clearer opportunity to hear God, because you're actively ministering, you're actively involved in that. You know, when we're praying, when we're fasting, God encourages us, you know, cast your anxieties on me because I care for you. Bring your prayers and petitions before me, and that's all encouraged, and we should do that. That's part of prayer. But we need to make sure that our prayer is not just all the busy talk. But if we're going to God and we're asking and we're putting petitions, we need to take time to stop and listen also. Because those are times when we're very focused on God, and there are times that we're going to have a better chance of hearing God speak through the Holy Spirit to us. As we seek God's wisdom, as we fast, which means to give up something, to have more dependence on God, to have a more focused dependence on God. And so as you're fasting and you're asking for guidance, you're asking for wisdom, whatever you're asking for during fasting, we would be amiss if we fasted and we asked, but we didn't listen to receive the wisdom. That part needs to be part of it. It seems like that would go without saying, but sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I should take some time to listen if I'm asking. So we go to chapter 16 in Acts. We read, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, okay, so to speak the word in Asia. And when they came up to Mysia, they had attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, okay, so once again, we see they're used interchangeably, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So let's write this down. God communicates to us through the Holy Spirit through circumstances, situations, and circumstances. Have you ever had a door close? Yes? Get some head nods. Yes, I believe that would be all of us. We've had doors. Have you ever thought maybe that was him? Sometimes it's hindsight and you realize, oh, he closed this door, he closed this door, he closed this door, but this door opened and that was the one. We've heard those stories over and over again. We've lived them in our own life. It's exactly what Paul is describing, or Paul and Luke, as he's writing Acts, describing what happened with Paul and his little group of ministers. They're like, hey, we want to go this way. And the Spirit worked through that situation, that circumstance, said, nope, you're not going this way. So they went a different way. So sometimes closed doors are the working of a supernatural nature. So those are times when we need to pause and think, maybe God's speaking to me through this situation, through this circumstance. As we continue reading, we get kind of a 2-4 here in Acts chapter 16. As we continue in verse 9, we see another way that the Holy Spirit communicates, that God communicates to us through the Holy Spirit, or at least communicated to the first church. It said, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him to come, or urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So let's write this down. God communicates through his Holy Spirit in dreams and visions. In dreams and visions. Let's do something a little risky. You guys just perk up with nervous energy. Oh no. Oh no. I want to see how many brave souls we have here in our service today. And if you have been woken up in the middle of the night with a message that you believe was from the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. It still happens. It still happens, church. The Holy Spirit communicates to us. God communicates to us through dreams and visions. I've heard story and story of that happening. That's why I was confident it wasn't a risk for me. But some of you think, well, does this happen to anybody else? Yes. Yes, it does. God still reaches out to us through the Holy Spirit by dreams and visions. So we flip forward a couple more chapters in Acts chapter 20 as we follow the Holy Spirit in his journey with the first church. Verse 22, it says, "And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." So another way that God communicates through his Holy Spirit is that, and we're going to have to unpack this a little bit, but he binds, get that, it's on my note, there we go. He binds us through irrefutable convictions. Paul was bound, or he was constrained by the Holy Spirit because he was so sure of his convictions that he had no other choice but to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, no matter what the outcome would be. And the Holy Spirit had even shared that with Paul. Both himself, the Holy Spirit had shared that with Paul, and the Holy Spirit had shared that with Paul through other people. That imprisonment and afflictions awaited for him in Jerusalem. But he was so convinced, so convicted, irrefutably convicted, that the Spirit was leading him to Jerusalem, that he had no other choice. He was bound by the Spirit. The NASB, the NLT, and then, so let me, the New American Standard Version and the New Living Translation and the New King James Version, they use the phrase "bound by the Spirit." The New Revised Standard Version says that as a captive to the Spirit. And then the NIV says that he was compelled by the Spirit. So we have these different translations, and this is a situation where they're all right. They're all correct. This is an understanding that it was such a compulsion. So he was compelled, as the NIV grabs it. So it was a willingness, a willing cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But it was such a compulsion. So he was so compelled that it was so strong, it was a binding. He was bound. He was constrained to this conviction so much that he had no other choice but to follow the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God continues to communicate to us through his Holy Spirit in ways like this. When we are irrefutably convicted of something that the Holy Spirit has placed on our heart, that we know there's no choice, there's no answer to this. It has to be a yes, I'm going, no matter what the consequences are. I know for a fact this is from the Spirit and this is what I need to do and I'm bound to this. Flip over one more chapter to chapter 21, we find another one. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So we're continuing to follow this story with Paul, but we get a chance to see another way that that God communicates through his Holy Spirit. And that is that God will communicate through the Holy Spirit. He will use other believers to help guide us. Now, Agabus was a prophet, which is a special position in the early church. But prophet or not, I've seen God communicate numerous times. In fact, you guys experience it every Sunday you're here. God is communicating through his Holy Spirit through a person. It still happens that way. Now, this does not justify the church practice of voluntailing someone what to do, right? You can't go and say, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit, you're to work in the nursery for the next 6 months." So it doesn't work that way. But this absolutely does happen among the body of believers, that God's Holy Spirit speaks and communicates to other people, to other believers, through other believers, through siblings in Christ. As we turn to our last chapter in Acts, we come to our last passage, Acts chapter 28. It says, "In disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement." I know we're jumping in the middle of the story, but the story is not what matters. What matters is this little proof text. I'm proof texting a little bit. Is right here where it says, "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet," and then he quotes from Isaiah the prophet. God communicates to us through his Holy Spirit through meditating and studying God's word. So the only little part I was grabbing out of that Acts 28 was that Luke was, or Paul at that point was saying that God was speaking through the Holy Spirit through Isaiah. And there are numerous places in the New Testament where the New Testament shows that they believe the Holy Spirit's involvement in the Old Testament scriptures was such that when they quote the Old Testament, they believe they're quoting the Holy Spirit, which is 100% accurate. Where did all of those pens get their information? The Holy Spirit was speaking through David, and that's how the Psalms were written. The Holy Spirit was speaking through Moses. That's how the Pentateuch was written. The Holy Spirit was speaking through Solomon. That's how the Proverbs were written. The whole Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. That was one of his roles in the form that God was in, a spirit form. That's how God wrote God's word, was through the Holy Spirit. So who better to know God's word than that form of God, the Holy Spirit? He was part of every word written. And Jesus tells us that he's going to help us understand all truth. He's going to help us to be able to recall all of the teachings of Jesus. God's word is his most concrete form of communication to us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand his word. He assisted and led 40 plus authors in writing 66 books that make up our Bible. He helps us to understand it. I think it's really cool about God's word, because you can go to God's word and you can read one passage and it hits you. You're like, "Man, I'm really getting a lot out of this." Then years later, you'll go back to that same exact passage. Okay, this is most of it, right? I can get a show of hands on that one. That's not risky at all. How many of you guys have done that? Going back to the same passage and you get something totally different out of it. The words never changed. The meaning never changed. But because of where you are in your life, the Holy Spirit helps you to apply it now in a new way, and oftentimes in a deeper way. And then you go back there again, a third time. And it happens yet again. And there's a deeper meaning, a deeper application that happens as the Holy Spirit, as God communicates to us through the Holy Spirit, as we meditate and we study His Word. Well, as we've been looking at these seven different ways that God speaks to His people in the first church, which I believe we have accepted that these seven still apply to us today, one question might have creeped into your head, and this is a question that's on the additional sheet in your bulletin. If you pull out that green sheet, we're going to continue our notes over there real quick. And that question is, how can I be sure that it is God's Holy Spirit communicating to me? We have all these different ways. You know, we hear a voice, He's speaking to us, we're in worship, and we get, you know, a feeling or a nudging, we get a prompting from the Holy Spirit, a situation or a circumstance happens, but, you know, and these different things, how can I be sure? How can I be sure that it is God's Holy Spirit that is communicating to me? And there's one litmus test that is so very simple, but it will help you sort through them. And that is that it will be perfectly in line with the written word of God and the teachings of Jesus. Because God does not contradict Himself. It will be perfectly in line with the written word of God and the teachings of Jesus. If what you hear from the Spirit is not in harmony with what is written in God's word or is taught by Jesus, then you are not hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's easy. Also on this sheet, I've included something. This series was a series that I wrote and taught 15 years ago in 2009. I've grown a little since then. And my experience with God's Holy Spirit communicating and speaking to me and watching as He communicates and speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, I wanted to do a 2.0 on this series. And so this year we are talking about holiness and how to live and walk in holiness. And so it fit this year to be able to say, okay, well, this would be a good year to go back and do a 2.0 of Power On. So some of the things are shifted and changed around a little bit because there has been some growth there. Some things were solid, as is, 15 years ago. And one of the things is this sheet. Little story on this sheet. I was going to include this sheet anyway because as I reviewed it, I was like, this is good stuff. It's useful. It's helpful. And the suggestion with the sheet, I think it might be on there, is to put the sheet on your refrigerator or on a bathroom mirror or maybe take it to work and put it on your desk. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it regularly so you can be reminded of what the difference is between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of our accuser, Satan. So I was going to include the sheet anyway. But last fall, I was in one of our members' houses, and I turned and I looked on the refrigerator, and right there was this sheet from 15 years ago on the refrigerator still. This was last fall. It was still there, and I thought, definitely doing the sheet again, because apparently someone thought it was worth keeping for 15 years because it was helpful. So as you look at that, and we see these two comparisons, the Holy Spirit is the accuser. The Holy Spirit versus the accuser. I left out a very important couple words here. The Holy Spirit versus the accuser, which is Satan. That's what Satan's word name means in Hebrew, is the accuser or the adversary. The Holy Spirit convicts. Satan accuses. So if you hear a voice speaking to you about a sin struggle, if it's convicting you, then it's probably the Holy Spirit. If it's accusing you, then it's probably from Satan. Satan likes to keep you in guilt, whereas the Holy Spirit is leading you to repentance. He will use guilt to lead you to repentance. The Holy Spirit encourages and comforts, whereas Satan discourages and alienates. So when you're woken in the middle of the night with a dream or a vision, ask yourself, was that encouraging? Was it comforting? Or was it discouraging or alienating? And that'll give you a little clue as to which side it came from. Satan focuses on you. So if you have thoughts and you're thinking about you and you're thinking about you and you're thinking about you, it's probably come from the accuser, because the Holy Spirit focuses on Christ in you. So if you're bound by thoughts and feelings that focus on you, it's probably the accuser. If you're bound by thoughts and feelings that focus on Christ in you, that compel you, that convict you with an irrefutable conviction to follow Christ with an increased level of boldness, and be encouraged. That's the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life. Satan brings despair, but the Holy Spirit brings hope. Maybe your closed doors are leading toward a hope. If so, then you could be experiencing some supernatural guidance in your life. The Holy Spirit brings peace, whereas Satan stirs turmoil. Satan weakens and tears down, whereas the Holy Spirit strengthens and builds up. If you have a fellow Christian that is weakening you and tearing you down, then Satan has found a way to sway them and use them. If you have a fellow Christian that is strengthening you and building you up, then consider that it is more than just a peer-to-peer strengthening. And think, maybe God is using the Holy Spirit to strengthen me through this Christian brother or sister of mine. The Holy Spirit's speech is seasoned with grace, whereas the enemy's speech is poisoned with condemnation. When you get a spiritual feeling or a prompt during a time of serving or a time of worshiping, a time of praying or fasting, was it seasoned with grace or was it poisoned with condemnation? And that can give you an idea of who that feeling might have come from. Satan taunts from the sidelines. The Holy Spirit helps as a team member. As you're meditating and studying God's word, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit teaches God's word, whereas Satan twists God's word. Hopefully that will help to give you a little bit of a guide to distinguish the difference between God's Holy Spirit and Satan, the accuser. As you're listening for these different ways that God communicates to the church, to us, through his Holy Spirit living inside of us, and you start to notice how much, how often God really does communicate to us. And all of that geared towards making us more like Christ, to walk more like Christ, to be sanctified, to be holy. That's the goal of it. To take all of us, and that's why when Jesus said, and I had, even though last week had a lot, I had to still pull out things. And one of the things is when Jesus says that you'll do even greater things, what? Well, one of the ways that we'll do even greater things, we're not dying on the cross. That was Jesus's part. That's not our part. We're not going to do something greater than that, but we're going to do something greater in a different way, where when Jesus was here, he was one Jesus. See, the goal of the church, and man, if the church could get this through our minds and into our hearts and deep into our spirit of who we are, if the church could really get this, then wow. Because the goal of the church, and why this is even greater than Jesus being here, is that the goal of the church is not one Jesus on earth, but that every Christian is a Jesus on earth. Amen? That's the goal. That every one of us would look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, do the things that Jesus do. That everything that we would be Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of Jesuses all around the earth. right now in this moment. That's the goal. If we would just connect with God, listen to the Holy Spirit, hear how God is communicating to us and leading us and helping us to grow. Let me encourage you with three verses real quick of the Holy Spirit's activity in the early church. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Your refrigerator sheet, those are the three verses that are listed across the top there. So you can reference those three. They're right there in front of you. We put all those together. This isn't your bulletin, just up on the screen. When we see evidence that we are connecting with God through his Holy Spirit, we are comforted with peace, strengthened with joy, and filled with hope. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. It really is an amazing gift that you would ingeniously find a way to live inside of each of us, that we would have all of the things that the disciples had in Jesus inside of us. Father, I ask that you help us to be more attentive to how you communicate to us through your Holy Spirit, that we would have our ears perked more after today, that we would listen more intently, that we would be more open, that we would, as we see it, we would be reminded. Father, I ask that you help all of us to experience this. So we know that you speak to us. We know that you communicate to us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to take the shade off of our eyes, the veil off of our eyes, so we can see your involvement in our life and be encouraged by that. Father, I pray that you would help us all to be little Jesuses walking on earth and sharing his life and teachings, his gospel with the people around us simply by living by your Spirit in us, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Thank you so very much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.